Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Planning for Retirement. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Nelson, and along with me, we have my lovely daughter, Elise Azaris.
Hello.
So what did you have on your mind today, Elise?
I was thinking that we could talk about your origin story and how you got in the business, because a lot of times when we meet with clients, that's actually a valid question. You know, how did you get into this? How long have you been doing it? And I think a lot of people have kind of a negative association with financial advisors.
Yeah,
and so they just want to know more about you as a person. And so if you want, you can share a little bit how you got into this industry.
Through a long and very circuitous route, I assure you. So for background, I grew up on a family dairy in Corinne, Utah. Only son. I kind of just assumed that I would be the one taking over the farm. And so fast forward, about the time I was coming of age, my dad had a stroke one year and a heart attack the next, which took an extreme toll on him physically. And farming's hard work, and dairy farming ranks right up there with some of the toughest in that profession. Not that that scared me. I think that's actually something I took away from it. But in the process of things, I was majoring in dairy science at Utah State University in Logan, Utah. And one of the courses that I took was a course called Enterprise Accounting. And they encouraged us to use our farm, if we had one, as the case study for the semester. And the premise was to determine, well, you know, can you grow alfalfa profitably without feeding it to your own cows? Or if you were just buying all of your feed, would the cows, the dairy operation itself, be profitable, and so on? And it gave me a great opportunity to actually dive into the books of the business. And I found out why my mom had a job not on the dairy to help support dad's farming habit. Interest rates at the time were crazy high. Inflation was extreme. Dad just told me one day, he says, hey, I can't continue this. It's killing me. I've got to sell. You're my only son. Would you like to buy? And, well, yeah, I'd love to. It's a great lifestyle. But monetarily, I could not see how I could make it succeed. And it wasn't just the pressure of, was I going to enter into a business and then fail? But that's also their retirement in the process. So it wasn't just the pressure of succeeding for myself and my wife, but also making sure that my parents could stay retired. And so after thanking Dad for the offer and all of that, I politely declined and wished him well. They did sell. I went on to do other things. So I've been a commercial loan officer, loaning money to farmers and trying to get it back. I've
probably didn't go well.
There's stories I could tell you. I've helped run businesses. I even had a stint as president and CEO of a bedding plant nursery, which I helped turn around. So we have business management experience. But we got to a point where my parents needed help with the yard, with their bills, with their pills, and everything. And so I was invited to come help them. And Elisha remember well when that happened. We hadn't been there a week when my mom broke her hip. I mean, the timing was right for us to come and help. But in the process of helping, they weren't sure what papers to keep, what not to keep, so they kept everything. And they were keeping papers, I think, in every drawer in the house somewhere. But I was able to go back through and review their situation. And what I discovered was really heartbreaking. After all of their hard work, my mom had a lot of debilitating things. Everything had fallen to my dad to take care of everything, including her. And finances were very, very tight. In reviewing their paperwork, I discovered that they got terrible tax advice when they sold the farm. If they had just structured the deal differently, it would have been so much less burdensome to them. They got bad investment advice on the money they did still keep after the IRS got through. They got bad insurance advice from everywhere. And when I came on scene, they already had a reverse mortgage in place. Not that that's a bad thing, it's a tool. But even that had been pretty much exhausted. And so they were just barely getting by. And of course, I'm their child. They raised me, changed my diapers. What could I possibly know that they didn't? I think maybe was the thing. But we were able to wade in and do some things to help them. And I've been known to question the financial services industry. And I really questioned it then. It was just heartbreaking. And me being who I am, took it to an extreme, call it obsessive compulsive, I don't know what. But I spent a lot of money in several years and took a lot of classes and tests and training on the quest to discover how can I prevent this from happening to anyone else. If I possibly can, my goal is to help anybody who comes to us not to go through what my parents did. And I discovered a lot of things. For example, I discovered that there is a difference between an investment advisory license, which requires a fiduciary duty of care to the client, meaning you have to do what's best for them, and a broker and an insurance agent. Both of them have more of a suitability standard, which is a lower standard. I'm not saying they're bad, but it's a lower standard. I discovered that there is a difference in what you do with your money in retirement versus while you're accumulating your retirement nest egg. The rules change. A lot of different things. So I intentionally set out to be different. I intentionally chose the Series 65 license to have the fiduciary accountability. I intentionally sought out places to train me. I have a retirement income certified professional designation from the American College of Financial Planning. And that's, I think, a powerful thing. I know you don't want to hear it right now, but I would encourage you to pursue that.
Well, I will.
And so we operate differently. Our paradigm is different because of the experiences that I had. So as we look at the industry at large, less than 10% of the industry chooses the investment advisory route versus the brokerage route. There are, on top of all of that, many who operate with just insurance licenses that don't have the balance of having the more liquid, higher yielding market exposed products. We also went through the process, as you know, of giving Medicare answers because of the mistakes and terrible practices in that segment of the industry. So we're just kind of different. So I made the decision to go into financial services after bad-mouthing them for years in 2010. We branched out on our own in 2013 is when we incorporated. And here we are. So we've got 16 years in the industry per se, but with a background that most don't have, having managed businesses and done financially related tasks for my entire adult life.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And you brought up a point about how there's a difference between brokers and financial advisors and insurance agents. And I just wanted to just say that I thought it was great when I started working. It's been about 4 years ago since I started working for you. And I think a good analogy that you used was, you know, everybody has a junk drawer. And, well, I say everybody. I mean, I have one. And most people I know have one. But, you know, you try and find something. You know you have it in there. It's in there somewhere. But if somebody's using a broker, if somebody's using an insurance agent, all they're doing is just handing you something like, oh, well, here, this could be useful eventually. And it just goes in the junk drawer, right? It doesn't have its own place. And Scott, you had told me, and Dad, I don't know, professional, but you told me, you know, we play a role because we can organize that drawer for people. So instead of having a person for each individual investment vehicle, we can help with all of it. So he mentioned, you know, we're not lawyers, but estate planning is a huge part of retirement planning. And we're not CPAs, but taxes are huge to think about. And we know a lot about them. He's taken a lot of tax courses and classes, and so he has the knowledge, and we've studied a lot. We have to, so with all the changes. But, you know, making your junk drawer into an organized drawer where you know exactly where all your tools are and you know exactly how to use them and what they're for, it just makes a huge difference. So,
yeah, those of you who use tools out there, you know, but I have a daughter that's got her own little tool kit. It's pink. And she can open that up, and there's a place for each type of screwdriver and wrench and hammer and pliers. It's all there, you know, right where it is. If you put it back, it's there again when you find it, when you need to find it again. In contrast, I remember the junk drawer we had in the kitchen on the farm. There was string, paper clips, fingernail clipper. I mean, there might be all kinds of things in there, all of which are useful. Yep. But if you're trying to find something quickly in the moment and have it work together, you know, that's kind of a challenge. So our goal is to be that tool organizer and have everything, make sure it works properly together in your financial life. We become the quarterback, as opposed to the client trying to figure out stuff without the background and training, and listening many times to conflicting, maybe even self-serving sales pitches, trying to coerce them into getting one product versus another. And we see a lot of things that come in that if the client knew more, they probably would have done differently. We'd rather try to have it done right the first time and have people have good outcomes. So that's the satisfying part of the industry. That's kind of why I got into this business. And we've been really blessed to have people place confidence in us and then be able to see the difference we've been able to make for them in a very positive way. And it's very gratifying. So that's why we do what we do. And I'm really grateful that you chose to come and continue that on.
Me too. It's been really rewarding. And our favorite thing is meeting with clients. And so if you ever want to come meet, we do it. We do free consultations. So, or if you know someone who's getting ready to retire and they don't really know where to start, we're happy to help. So,
yeah, if nothing else, we'd be happy to give a look over and give you some direction, hopefully that will help. So we appreciate the confidence our clients have placed in us. We really love what we do. We really want people to have the retirement be everything they'd like it to be for them. And with proper advice along the way, they certainly can. So anyway, thanks so much for listening. We hope if you have questions that you won't hesitate to reach out. Set an appointment and come in for a free consultation.
Thank you.